My dear friends, we give you a warm welcome to be with us this evening for our Bible-based address. This evening's title is Jesus Christ is Coming and Will Change the World. And our speaker for this evening, Mr. Kim Bailey, has asked that by way of introduction to his remarks that we read from Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is roughly in the middle of your Bible. Reading then from Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall deliver their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his name, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So friends, that interesting reading is an introduction to our Bible-based address this evening to the title, Jesus Christ is Coming and Will Change the World. We'll call forward our speaker for this evening, Mr. Kim Bailey.
Thank you, Brother Chairman, and good evening, my dear respected friends. With the subject that we have before us tonight, friends, it's very important that we firstly know just what Almighty God had in mind from the very beginning, even before he started the 6 days of creation. He had a plan and purpose. We need to know exactly what his ultimate purpose was. And the answer to that is found in the pages of truth in a number of passages. We'll only look at a couple tonight. The first one I want to look at is in Numbers 14, where it says there, and I've got a few versions there, in Numbers 14 and at verse 21, it says there, but truly I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. And that's what his ultimate plan was when he first started creation, that the earth might be filled with his glory. And the AMP has this, but truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The New American Standard Version has But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And the last one there in the Septuagint is, but as I live, and my name is living, so the glory of the Lord shall fill all the earth. And what Almighty God says, friends, will surely come to pass. There is no question about that. It will come to pass. And it certainly, as we know, and we only have to look not too far around us to see that the earth today is most certainly not filled with his glory. And a few other passages that support that also is in Isaiah 6 and at verse 3, chapter 11 and verse 9 of Isaiah, Habakkuk 2 and verse 14, in our reading tonight and at verse 19, another one in Isaiah chapter 40 and at verse 5, and Revelation 4 verse 11, which we'll have a look at that. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And surely we'd have to ask the question, would Almighty God take pleasure in the state of the world as we see it today? And the answer, of course, is he most certainly would not. You see, friends, God created the earth and mankind upon it that he only might be glorified and magnified. And what God had in mind, friends, was for the earth to be populated with people who would manifest his glorious character in all that they do, think, and say. To manifest him in every way in their lives. Isaiah 45 and at verse 18. Well, it says there, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He is the one and only true God, friends, and there is no other. And so that's what he wants, this earth to be filled and inhabited with people that manifest him in their lives. That's what his plan and purpose was. And as we know, the majority of people these days don't even recognise him. They don't even want to know him. But that will change. But you see, friends, Almighty God, what Almighty God has set out to do in the very beginning has been delayed. It's been delayed for nigh on 6,000 years because of two people. Two people who started off very good. And if we read the account of them in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we'll see that they were educated in the things of Almighty God. And they were also given a simple command, which unfortunately they didn't keep. And that pair, of course, was Adam and Eve. And when we turn to the Bible, friends, and read the account of these things, in the first book there, in Genesis, we can see the account of creation, including Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were brought into existence on the sixth day. They were pronounced very good. And as we've said, they disobeyed a simple command, which of course was a sin, a great sin. And the consequences of that sin, friends, has affected the world and humanity ever since, right down to our times, to our very day. And so when we look at the book of Genesis, friends, we find that it is the most important book in the Bible. You could say it's the main seed that the rest of the scriptures spring from. And without a good and proper understanding and a correct understanding of this book, it is nigh impossible to understand the purpose of God and how he is going to reverse the situation on the earth as we see it today, which has been going for 6,000 years. And being the very first book, of course, it's no question that it is a book of beginnings. It lays the foundation for the rest of the Bible and of God's purpose with the earth and mankind upon it. And when we look at that, as I said, it's a book of beginnings. And it ties in with the very last book, which is a book of endings. Genesis is a book of death. Revelation is a book of life, and so on. But not only in Genesis, friends, but in every book of the Bible, the purpose of Almighty God is typified in the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. And so what we have here, friends, in the last act of creation on the sixth day with the appearance of Adam and Eve is them being brought together in marriage, united as one and exercising dominion over the lower creation. And we could ask, how does this relate to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's going to do? Well, here's one of the changes, friends, that will take place at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the second Adam as he is known, the marriage of Christ and the saints, or his bride, will take place. And they will exercise dominion over the mortal population for 1,000 years. And the saints there are all those who have kept the faith and overcome, who have served God faithfully, put their faith and trust in him over the last 6,000 years. And there are so many of them that we could list in the Bible. The most ones that we all know is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Hezekiah, prophets, the apostles, and so on. There's so many of them. They are the ones that will go into God's kingdom when Christ returns and will populate the earth and commence to fill it with God's glory. And we can see this in our reading tonight in Psalm 72 and at verse 8, where it says there, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Christ will have dominion over them all. And when we look at this psalm, Psalm 72, it's a psalm of the future, when Christ will come, of the kingdom age, as it's called, when Christ will return and take command and commence to correct the things in the earth that are so wrong today. Psalm 8 and verse 5 and 6 is another quote on a similar vein. And so this decree of dominion was partly fulfilled, which we can see in Genesis 2 verse 19. Before the sin of Adam and Eve, which, as I said, has delayed the fulfilment of God's purpose for all those years, 6,000 years. But Almighty God will complete it through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen in that Psalm 72. But one of the key verses, friends, in the Bible, particularly in Genesis, is one that well and truly needs to be understood correctly. And that is verse chapter 1 and at verse 26. But as we have seen, friends, Almighty God's plan and purpose with the earth, will be completed. But before that happens, before he fills it with his glory, but he needs to make it so people can have their sins forgiven. In other words, friends, for God to fill the earth with his glory by people who have been faithful to him and put their faith and trust in him and manifested him in their lives to the very best of their ability, but for God to accept them, is that they have to have a way to have their sins forgiven. And that has been made possible. The Lord has made that possible through his Son, through his sacrifice, his crucifixion. And of course, as we're probably well aware, that God raised his Son again, the third, has to be well and truly understood 100% correct. If we get that one wrong, we get everything wrong. And so by this Christ's sacrifice, God's way of salvation was opened to mankind to receive forgiveness of sins. And through that, if they do what they've been asked, to receive eternal life. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and raises the responsible dead, those who have heeded the gospel call, who have been or are baptised into Christ, they will be judged, and those who are accepted will become Christ's bride, as we said earlier, united as one. And that's the glorious hope, friends, held out to everyone on the earth. The gospel, if they want it, and if they obey God's command. And so that's all that God requires, is for us to heed to the gospel, as we can see in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, to be baptised as we're required in Galatians 3, 27. We can read of the judgment in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And we can read of Christ's bride in Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. So, friends, what happens then? How will the Lord Jesus Christ change the world when he returns? Well, there's no need to despair because of the deteriorating social and immoral conditions on the earth. God has said that these things will happen prior to Christ's return. And we read that in Luke 21 and at verse 25. But it says there, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity or with no way out, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And now is the time, friends, to be doing just that, to be looking up and lifting up our heads, for that time isn't that far away. So though it might seem like the world is facing a bleak future, friends, and that no leader has any solution to the crisis that disturbs so many, there is a grand hope offered to thoughtful men and women who are prepared to look beyond the present. And the Bible is a source of such confidence, friends. It is a message of real hope and of real security. A consistent message of divine purpose continues from the beginning of the Bible right through to the end. And so why is the Lord Jesus Christ going to return to the earth? Well, as we've probably guessed, to fix the problems that are facing mankind today. Have a look at Isaiah 45 and at verse 18. It says there, "Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. We saw this one before. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, but to be inhabited." As I say, we read that before, but this statement is just so comforting, friends, for us. The earth is to be inhabited, but certainly not as we see it today. That is for sure. It's not going to become a desert void or covered in nuclear waste and fallout, as pictured by the scaremongers of space fiction, or the forecasters of doom and gloom. But, as Isaiah says in chapter 11 and verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." And it's certainly not that today, friends, is it? It is certainly not filled with the knowledge of Almighty God. Isaiah 26 and at verse 9 says, "If with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth," when Christ returns, that is, "the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Of course, that has never happened. We certainly don't see that today. Nothing like it. God is sending his Son back to earth because he is the one who is going to be the ruler of all the earth, the King. He's also going to be the High Priest and the one that rules over the earth in the future age. Have a look at 2 Samuel, verse 12. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou, David, shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name," that's a house of prayer for all nations, "and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So Christ, friends, is going to return and reign forever, God has said, on this earth. And so we can see, friends, when looking at our reading tonight in Psalm 72, Christ's righteous reign will refresh the earth with peace and righteousness. And as we know, people are getting frightened of what they are seeing going on in the world around us, and even here in Australia. Now just look at the protests that have been going on around the globe. And even yesterday in Melbourne, the protests going on there. People have had enough of the government with what they are doing, or more to the point, what they're not doing, and what they're allowing, the blatant dishonesty and corruption. They've had enough of the violence and the gang wars, the murders, with no real punishment. Domestic violence is rising rapidly. They're basically calling good evil and evil good. And as we've all seen, the cost of living is rocketing. It's just one thing after another. We can see the greed and ruthlessness of big businesses. More and more taxes are coming. And as you probably heard in the last couple of weeks, they're talking about introducing a tax on empty bedrooms, which I think Margie Thatcher brought in and lost government next round. The government know and try to control our every move, which they're doing in schools and the way they're educating kids and stopping parents from bringing up their children properly and so on. They're controlling our every move. They know everything about us. You can't even buy a new car that doesn't control you in some way. There's no such thing anymore as a cheap holiday. You can't take your own van. Some parks are charging $80 plus a night with your own van for two people. It's like having bags with holes in it, money falling straight through. And people are getting sick of it, friends, of what they see going on and wondering, where is it all going to end? And it's going to end when God sends his son back to earth. People can't see any way out of the mess, let alone with all the wars that's going on, frightening people. The moves countries are making, like China circling around Australia with their ships, warships, not that long ago. Their military display that they had last week, as far as you could see to the right and to the left, as far as you could see, it was just soldiers and weaponry. And their reason for it all, there's peace in strength. That's what he said, there's peace in strength. Now, no one's got any idea what Russia's doing or anybody else. No one have any idea what Trumpy's doing or gonna do. World finances, when you look at the world finances, they're all saying that they're going to collapse and not in the too distant future. And the list goes on and on, friends, does it not? But looking at tonight's reading in verse 1 to 7, in Psalm 72, verse 1 to 7, God has left on record for us, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. In other words, friends, forever. Look at the key words in those few verses. Righteous, righteousness, peace. There's none today. Have a look at Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and verse 17 and 18. The works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. This is obviously the opposite to today, is it not? Isaiah 57, verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. And this is what happens, friends, when Almighty God is left out of the picture. But it won't be so when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Amos chapter 9, and at verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And this is speaking of, as we saw in our psalm tonight, it speaks of plenty of food, no more hunger in the earth. That's what it's going to be like when Christ returns. Isaiah 11 at verse 6 speaks of a time of safety and security. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp or the cobra, as other translations have. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den or viper's den. Of course, we've never seen anything like that, anything that can be done like that. We've never seen anything like it at all on the earth so far. But that's what will happen, friends. Micah chapter 4 and at verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Doesn't this speak of complete safety, no fear, dwelling in your home with no fear, no locks. Unfortunately, it's certainly not like today. And it hasn't been like that for 6,000 years. But it will, friends, it will happen when Christ returns. Isaiah 56 and at verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called an house of prayer for all nations. And that house of prayer is described in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's temple. As we can see on the screen, there before us. And so that is going to become a house of prayer, one religion, in other words. Has every nation ever done this at any one time? It will happen. Friends, as we know well and truly these days, the Jewish people have always been hated. They've been a hated and despised people. But in the future age, the world will respect them. And surely we ask the question, is that possible? Well, Almighty God says, yes, it is. Zechariah 8 and at verse 23. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And what a change that will be in that time to come. Certainly not like that today. And as we've seen, friends, in our reading today or tonight, those first two verses, beautiful verses, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgments. You know, friends, all the evil atrocities, the wars, the hatred, the disease, the pollution, pain, the health issues, the hunger, etc., etc., and even sin and death itself will be a thing of the past. Did you know that? It will be a thing of the past. No more sin, no more death. But God said at the end, that's how it will be at the end of the 7,000-year reign. It is going to come to pass. Nothing but righteousness, righteous and honest ruling, one religion. The rain will come in its due season. There won't be any need for a police force. War will be learnt no more. The curse that came on the earth at the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned will be removed. And harmony and peace will fill the earth. That's what will happen, how Christ will change the world at his return. And the more we read the scriptures about this glorious future, friends, that which our loving Heavenly Father has installed for all who would turn unto him with all their heart and soul, with all their strength and mind, the more we long for that day to quickly come, with thankful hearts and with a lot of thanksgiving. And when we look at these things and meditate upon them, it's almost unbelievable and uncomprehendable just how glorious it will be on earth at that time, forever. That's what God's promised, forever. No more death, completely at one with him and his Son, with Almighty God himself, with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling as King Priest. And there's so much more we could say on this subject, friends, in that chapter that we had read for us. We only touched on a few verses, but there's so much more on it, not only in there, but throughout the scriptures. And we can be with the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. We can be his immortal saints, his bride. We are invited to be with him. There are a few conditions. All as God has asked, friends, is that we accept his invitation to learn his word of truth, to do as he has asked, to be baptised into the all-saving name, the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then until the Lord returns, strive to be like him, to manifest Christ in our lives, in all that we do, think and say, to manifest his glorious character in our lives to the very best of our abilities, and to build a wonderful relationship, which we can do, with Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through prayer and good works. That's all he asks. Almighty God, friends, is the one who has made it possible through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his love and care and his understanding. He knows our frame. And it's not his will that any should perish, not at all. Your future, friends, lies fairly and squarely in your own hands. You can choose to accept Almighty God's invitation, or you can choose to ignore it. Thank you. Thank you.